From the News Talk STL studios in St. Louis, it's the Right Mind Show with Todd Showalter. On tonight's episode, State Rep Jamie Gregg talks about why it's so hard to get bills passed, comedian Anthony Rogers on selling out a movie theater so people could watch him eat hot wings, and the Right Mind studio band Mitch Murphy and the Murphy Tones. Now, putting the fun in your dysfunctional world, here's your host, Todd Showalter.
You know what that is, Joey?
That sounds crunchy.
No, it's not.
Cereal?
No, it's not crunchy. That's a sound of ice being scraped off a windshield.
Oh my goodness. I hate that.
I hate that sound more than, or either this. That's me walking through the snow. I hate that too.
The sound of ice being scraped always wakes me up for some reason. It just penetrates through the windows while I'm sleeping, and every time we have an ice storm or something similar, wakes you up and you just know, hey, I don't have a real job like these losers, and I get to sleep in till 3 o'clock when it all melts.
Oh, wow, that's convenient, isn't it? And then you always, you know what I don't, more than that sound, I hate these people. Oh, look at the snow. It's so beautiful, isn't it? No, it's not. No, it's, do you like snow?
I don't mind it when it doesn't affect my life at all. You know, I do a live show here at Newstalk STL.
Yes, you do.
From 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. Central. And usually everything is taken care of. The news for the day has happened and all the weather has happened. And every time I drive to work, it's perfectly peaceful. So I have a good life.
Oh, that is very nice. You know that staff meeting that you guys had that I wasn't invited to, but I was at the tail end?
Yeah, we actually have an open house tonight that you're not invited to.
I'm not invited to that either.
You can come if you want, though.
Well, I actually get these invites that say you're not invited.
Ooh.
Okay, yeah, it's like a you're not invited invite. It's like, in case you heard about this, Todd, you are not invited.
Is that why they put it in French, like the RSVP? I don't even know what that means. Recevez-vous plaît? And so you don't even know what it means.
See, I don't even understand when you actually say it.
Exactly.
I mean, it's unbelievable. But, you know, that staff meeting that I was not invited to because I got the invitation that said I wasn't invited, Jeff, one of the owners here, he blurted out that if there is bad weather for anybody that was working, like the early morning shift, they have this arrangement, okay, with like a courtyard across the street here where you can spend the night or something like that. So here's what I thought I would do. You know, maybe we could have a party over there or something like that, and just tell Jeff we think it's going to snow and don't let him listen to the radio, even though he's part of owner of a radio station, and then we could go have a party over at the courtyard because they have a free breakfast buffet.
It says it's the Marriott courtyard or whatever, but whenever he says courtyard, I think he means just grab a patch of grass over there under an awning and you should be all right.
Oh,
we don't actually have a real room.
Oh, so it's kind of like camping.
Yeah.
Oh, I get it. Do you like camping? I've never been much of a camper.
I was in Boy Scouts for a long time, got all my camping out of my system, liked it when I was younger, won't do it another day of my life.
Yeah, it's just kind of, I don't understand camping because it's kind of like one of those things like, you know, we've progressed beyond, you know? I mean, it's like, you know, when people are in caves and like cavemen and stuff like that, you evolved and then you moved up. And then why, I don't understand the pleasure of going back and living like you're a caveman.
Even when I was in Boy Scouts, this was in the 90s, I was still the kid who was trying to bring the TV and the radio and the heating pad and the inflatable mattress.
Yes.
So it's like, you know, the stuff that you're supposed to get points for roughing it for? Let's get rid of that as much as possible.
Absolutely. We went camping one time. It was my dad and my brother and myself, because I was invited to that because I didn't get the invitation that you were not invited. So I went along to this. And my brother, this shows what a wimp he is. I promise not to bring him up on the show either, so I'm going to. He slept in the car with the air conditioning on.
I think that's how you huff gas also. That's how people usually end their lives.
I don't, maybe that's part of the problem.
This camping trip is so bad, I'm going to just run a hose from the exhaust and, you know, just see what happens.
That was the end of him. Yeah, I have another brother, though, too. Yeah, we don't talk about the brother that experienced that. But now they have this thing now called glamping. Glamping, where it's like glamorous camping. I call that like, you know, the Ritz-Carlton. Just stay, you know, why do if you, it's like, okay, we're going to go camping, but we're going to kind of like perk it up a little bit. We're going to, okay, the keeper of the mullet, Sarah, who takes care of my mullet, okay?
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I'm going to her tomorrow for a little tune-up.
I call them lady barbers. I don't call them hairdressers or anything.
She takes offense at that.
Okay.
She has it on her business card, keeper of the mullet,
okay?
And so she takes care of my mullet. But she goes glamping, and I said, what the hell is glamping? And apparently, if you're not actually on the ground, okay, so if you're above the ground, like not like a two-story tent or something like that, but if you're not actually physically on the ground, then it's considered glamping. So I don't know what the heck that's supposed to be. I guess, what is it, like a cot or a waterbed or something?
I guess when your brother ended it all with the exhaust pipe, he became a ghost and started floating, and that's ghost camping, glamping. Yeah, that makes sense. He was hovering above the ground.
We just left him in the woods, too, because what are you going to do with him? We were going to go on a float trip, you know, or like old Bobby. I don't think he's breathing. He's like, ah, leave him here.
He'll float eventually.
He's okay. He's a floater.
My girlfriend's dad, whenever he goes hunting, he hikes too far out into the woods.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but my gunshot. I'm big on sound effects today. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
When he brings his bow and arrow, sound effect. Yep. In the woods. He accidentally kills a deer and realizes, oh, I have to drag this stupid thing a mile back to the car.
Oh, I think I've been shot.
So now these manly hunters have to buy sleds.
Yes.
Like cute little pink plastic sleds that they have in the winter so they can throw the deer on it and then they drag it back to their car.
Oh, don't get me going on this deer hunting thing. You know, here's another thing. A good friend of mine, Brett, okay, mm-hmm. who is, we're not supposed to bring him up because he's part of the government and he does, you know, certain police work and stuff. Actually, Blake brought him up.
Let's change his name just to be safe. Brit. Mm-hmm. Different person.
He tells me about how he goes on these camping trips, okay, with his buddies, because I'm not a buddy because I wasn't invited, okay? Not that I'd want to go. But they drive for like miles and miles and miles to go kill a poor deer. Meanwhile, in our neighborhood, we must have like 5,000 deer. So I'm like, why don't you just come on my back patio and you can shoot all the deer you want? Nope, we got to go drive and drive and drive and go sit up in a tree and wait for one. What is the point of that?
Even with a float trip, they make you drive 20 minutes up the road to the top of the hill just so you can get on a little inner tube and just float down the hill. Like you were just there.
Are people just becoming stupid? I mean, it doesn't make any sense. So people, you go with a camping, you want to go live like a caveman, and then you're going to go drive 4 hours to go kill a deer, even though there's one, you know, sitting in your backyard. It doesn't make any sense.
The best glamping that we did in Boy Scouts was they had tree houses, and there was one whole wall missing. So it was only, how many walls are in a building? Three?
It depends.
There's usually four that surrounds you. There was three, and the one side opened up to the river. So you were laying in your bunk bed, but you could see the river as you slept.
That's
and
romantic.
It was very romantic.
It is.
And then if any wolves or coyotes wanted to join you in your bed, they could just come right in and cuddle up next to you.
Oh, that is nice.
We lost our friend Billy that day.
Billy? Do all the kids that disappear or die on camping trips, are they all Billy? It seems like it.
Well, you do get the merit badge for wound dressing. So maybe it was an elaborate test by our scoutmaster. Yeah, I got tons of merit badges. My favorite one was for wood carving.
Ooh.
They gave you a hunk of wood and you had to carve your initials into it.
Yeah.
And you know, my initials, very simple, JJV. But I decided that day I was going to be SOB.
Oh, so that's I like it.
That's what I did, and I passed my wood carving merit badge for a dirty word, basically.
Well, that's like my son Blake, who I just brought up again. Okay.
They probably are like, what does that stand for, gentlemen, sir? What kind of filthy things are you doing? And I cried, and I'm like, it stands for sob. And whenever I get yelled
that's
at,
like
I cry a lot.
That's like my car.
But secretly it stood for son of a bee. That's why I did that.
Well, you know what we did to Blake, don't you?
What'd you do?
Well, Blake, okay, my last name, and so is Blake's, is Showalter, so mm-hmm. he's B. S, okay,
yeah.
which is not, you know, so what, but, okay, when you're naming the middle name, okay, it's always a quandary, okay, and when you become a father, you're going to deal with this, okay, because everybody wants the middle name to be theirs, okay,
mm-hmm.
and so, I mean, it's like, well, one of the grandfathers or something like that, and you're always, you know, worried that somebody's going to be upset because you didn't pick them, so what we did, we picked like a remote relative that was my grandfather's brother and stuff like that, Joseph. Okay, mm-hmm. which is a great strike. And your name is Joey. We didn't name him.
I'm not trying to get ahead, but I did start laughing. Go ahead.
We did name him after you because I didn't know you then. Mm-hmm. I probably would have though, but we named him Blake Joseph. So he's already BS for Blake Showalter, but we threw a J in there. It was very random and at the last second, too, by the way. It mm-hmm. was not well thought out because now, along with being BS, he's also BJ. Okay. Mm-hmm. So this obviously happened to him when in school, when they is, and right away, he notices. And he says, Dad, you're not going to believe what my initials stand for. And I go, well, what? And I go, oh, my.
Yeah. You always hope that slang will be just out of the vernacular by the time they are making fun of each other at school. But no, that one's really stuck
that
along.
One really stuck. And that really that damaged him.
He could change it every once in a while. I was going through all the letters of the alphabet and, you know, B-U-S, bus. That's kind of fun. But right now, K-pop is huge.
Oh, K-pop. K-pop, what is that?
That's Korean pop music. And the biggest band in Korea right now is BTS.
What?
Yeah. So if he just changed his middle initial to Todd... The way it should have been. He would have been BTS. He would have been so popular in school.
Nope. We already screwed up with that one, too, because we have TJ, who is my older son, but that stands for Todd Jr. Isn't that clever?
That is clever. Oh.
But he's Todd Jr., okay? But he. Here's the thing. I'm giving you fatherhood tips
I need
here
it.
Today, okay?
I'm going to get a second cat
because
soon. We don't know its middle name yet.
Oh, you go out. Don't you help like single pregnant mothers get their start? Mm. That's a joke. It's an old one. Not a very good one, though. But no, here. So our first TJ is basically he's Todd Jr., but when you do a junior, they get your whole first name, your whole entire name.
Mm-hmm.
Everything except for the Social Security number. Okay. Oh, and I got to tell you this story. And this is a true story. So he is Todd E. Showalter. I'm not going to give away my middle name. You know why? Because I've already had my identity stolen. That was a lot of fun. I'll tell that on another occasion. But here's my real good story I'm sharing before I got sidetracked. Anyway, Todd E. Showalter is my name. And he's Todd E. Showalter Jr. Okay. When he was in sixth grade, I am not making this up. He could not move on to the middle school because he had a detention that he had not served yet, and it turns out I didn't even know computers were even invented when I was back then. It was my detention because we were both in Parkway. They thought it was his that he had not when it was actually mine. Isn't that wild? So I don't even know how I graduated.
That's a lot of pressure to name someone a junior because they could easily steal your identity, open up credit cards.
He
you got to raise a good kid when they're a junior.
Well, you do something good, it's good. But if you do something bad, then you're going to have to pay that price too. So what have you learned today? Don't name your children after, you know, slang for dirty words. And don't name them after yourself. Just call them all Billy, okay? And then they'll go camping and then they'll be gone.
Yeah, like we said on a previous episode, let them choose their own name when they're 1 or 2 years old. Lay out some cards and see which one they crawl to. And if they crawl to the vacuum, then they're named Dyson, which I realized today sounds like Dyson.
Dyson. Like Dyson.
Yeah. Dyson. Like if he's in trouble.
Oh, that is. Well, then they go camping.
Yeah.
Or glamping, you know.
Let's go fight some grizzlies together. I'll let you go first.
I was talking about Blake's school. I mean, I'm bringing it. It's like the Blake show. He comes up. But he goes to Southeast Missouri State because I won't let him go to Mizzou because they became very woke. And he's down there, but he's doing very well, by the way. And they're known as SEMO, S-E-M-O. And you said a great name would
be. Yeah, what's their current mascot real quick? It's like a Redbird. It's Rowdy the Red Hawk.
It's a Red Hawk. Now, it used to be the Indians, but they can't call it Indians anymore. It used to be the Southeast Indians, and that offended somebody probably wearing a mask shopping at Fresh Time. And so now they're the Red Hawks. So what are they going to do when the Red Hawks are offended? I guess they're going to have to quit. Eventually, you're just going to be, look, we're just the... Nothing. It's going to offend somebody. But getting back to your marketing genius.
When the Red Hawks become offensive, we change it to a different color, a different bird. We go the blue-footed boobies from the Galapagos Islands. So the SEMO boobs.
SEMO boobs. That was all your idea. SEMO boobs. I think it's genius.
Attendance is down. What do we do to raise it? Well, I know what'll raise something. SEMO boobs.
SEMO boobs. And I think, was it Mike who was just in here, Mike Ferguson? Or was it you that said all the cheerleaders could wear the SEMO boob shirt?
Yeah, I think that he's a perv and didn't really get what we were going for. He really made it dirty, our story.
We're
just people who enjoy the Galapagos Islands.
I know, but you know, that's Mike, and that's okay.
He's anti-mullet, too.
He is anti-mullet, but he's up very early. His show starts at what? Like 2 a.m. or some crazy thing. Does anybody listen at 2 a.m.? I guess
there's not even news at that time of day.
No, there's not. I guess we could make news. Yeah, it could make. There's like a hostage situation. Speaking of, there is
speaking
always,
of hotels, speaking we should get a free room at.
You know, just when you think, you know, you can't top your tourism, you know, potential here in St. Louis. There's always, I mean, aside from the shootings and the murders and everything else in St. Louis, why anybody would come to live, you know, not live for God's sakes, but come and visit downtown. Last night, I turn on the old news, and there's like some hostage situation at one of the hotels downtown, okay? And they had to make all the people that are staying, they probably didn't tell them, oh, you know, if you come to down, if you're staying in downtown St. Louis, you could either be, you know, shot, you know, mugged or part of a hostage situation. But a hostage situation, that's something brand new. And they had to evacuate everybody.
This was the Drury at the convention center. And I don't know if you remember when George Clooney was in town filming his movie Up in the Air.
Yes, I do.
But they filmed at that Drury. So that place is a historical landmark. And to tarnish it with hostage situations is disgusting to me.
But why do you got to kick everybody else out? They're not going anywhere. If you're holding somebody hostage in a hotel, why are you kicking everybody else out? They aren't being held hostage. Apparently, they woke these people up at like 5 o'clock. That was me. That was my sound effect. And they said, you got to get out of here because there's a hostage situation. I would say, I'm not being held hostage. Just leave me alone. I want to go back to bed.
They're all electronic locks. If someone at the front desk could just lock all the doors and say, you know, there's a hostage situation, just to make things safer, we are keeping all 300 of you hostage now.
Yeah.
For your safety, please go climb in the bathtub in case any bullets are going crossways through your room.
Exactly. And again, that's another genius comment by you, because then again, mm-hmm. just being a, you know, marketing genius, you're a genius in general. But guess what happens on the news after that? Everybody is up in arms because the conditions at our city jail aren't good enough. Did you hear about this? I mean, and so they got that, what was it, Tijuana? Is that her name, Tijuana?
I've never heard it said like that, but I like Tishara becoming Tijuana.
Tijuana. I don't know. She's like our mayor, okay? But she's up talking about how they're going to make the jail better because apparently it's just horrible conditions for the prisoners. Well, what about the people staying at the Drury Inn in these hostage situations? Why don't we worry about that? Here's my idea. If you want the jail to be better and you're upset about the conditions, I'm going to be a genius. Just don't get in a situation where you're going to get stuck in jail.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe don't do a crime. Maybe don't shoot somebody. Maybe don't rob somebody. You know what? And then you won't be in that jail that has the horrible conditions. Was that worthy? I mean, it wasn't as good as Simo Boobs, but I think it's a pretty good, you know, point.
I think you evacuate the prison, give every one of them a gun, and then they stand outside whatever hotel room is the hostage situation. Like, we've got you surrounded. We've got 300 inmates ready to shoot you dead.
Hopefully we have more laughs when we come back. In the meantime, I'm Todd Showalter, along with Joey B. It's The Right Mind Show. We'll be right back.
Coming up next on The Right Mind Show with Todd Showalter, Missouri State Rep. Jamie Gregg clears up some of the confusion around House Bill 1951, which removes children from dangerous homes.
Hey, everybody, it's Todd Showalter from The Right Mind Show, along with my buddy Joey V. And, you know, have you ever heard of what a doorbuster sale is? Well, we're not having one, but we do have sales at liberaljoke.com. That's liberaljoke.com, where you can buy all of your favorite offensive items. And you know what? Joey V is our store manager.
Yes, I am in charge of everything. And just so you know, the word sale just means money will be exchanged for goods and services. Nothing will be less money than it was before. And no returns.
No returns at all. So if you hate something, sorry, you're stuck with it. At liberaljoke.com.
If you find that something is ill-fitting, take a picture, send it to us. You may make it on the wall of shame. You will receive no refunds. All sales are final. Terms and conditions might apply.
At liberaljoke.com. Won't you visit us today, please?
Welcome back to The Right Mind Show with Todd Showalter on News Talk STL. And now a man who's such a good parent, he had all his boys litter box trained before they were 6 months old, Todd Showalter.
And we're back. I'm Todd Showalter, along with my buddy Joey V on The Right Mind Show. And on the line right now is State Representative Jamie Gregg. How you doing, Jamie?
I'm doing pretty good, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing great. You know, there's a lot of stuff I wanted to talk with you about, because there are a lot of these Facebook groups and other things. You've got a bill that you've authored. It's a bill 1951 that has a lot of people. So some are up in arms, some are confused. It deals with parents and children and things like that. Can you just explain it in your own words? What exactly is this bill that everybody's so up in arms about?
Sure. Not a problem. Thank you for asking on that bill specific, because it has got a lot of buzz lately, a lot of emails, a lot of text messages, a lot of everything.
Right.
The whole and I'll go with the intent and the verbiage. It's to help children that have been placed in foster care, and it's also to help the biological parents, because as I'm sure the large majority of Missouri will agree, reunification should always be the end goal. In the foster care program that we've got right now, there's not a lot of helps for parents. Your kids are pulled from the home. We do everything we can to put them in a home that is loving and good for them with their environment. And then we just tell moms and dads, get yourself in order. When you do that, come back. We'll get your kids back to you. We've got to help the parents, because that's the biggest missing link. So this was given to me, the language, by a foster parent, not an organization, not a lobbyist, not anybody like that. This is somebody who lives the system, because that is their world. They've had, I think currently they've got 7 foster children. What this would do is it would narrow down the what we call the yo-yo children, the in and out of the foster care program, and the, how many times they go in and out. So 3 strikes is basically what it is. First time a child is pulled out, the parents are given a 1-year program catered to their situation. You've got a parent or a set of parents that are they have a drug issue or an alcohol issue, then that 1-year program revolves around rehab. If it's that they do have a suitable environment for a child to live in and they've got anger issues, then anger management, and do whatever we can to help them get into an appropriate living environment that is healthy for the child. If they finish that 1-year program early, fantastic. Reunification, quicker the better. Children goes back into the home with mom and dad, mom and or dad. If a second time comes up and the children are then removed, then there is a 6-month program. And again, if they finish it early, fantastic. The 6-month program, the reason it's a smaller, shorter period of time is because hopefully those building blocks are already set in place with the first time they went through this. And maybe it just needs to be tweaked because there was something that just didn't click, didn't stick, or maybe something missed the first time. And we're going to do everything we can to help parents. Now, both of these times are provided by the state of Missouri. That's one thing I put in there, because if we're going to invest in our children's lives, we need to be investing in the healthy family, the biological. So hopefully we can get that environment healthy again. Children go back into the home with biological mom and or dad. If there's a third time, more than likely mom and dad aren't doing what it's going to take to make that environment healthy. Studies have shown that if a child is pulled twice, more than likely it's not going to happen. So to keep kids out, in and out, in and out of foster care, where is that fine line? Somebody unfortunately has to set it. And since the studies show that after 2 times, that's why we picked the third time, the children are now available in the adoption program. Because mom and dad are just struggling to not be able to provide that.
So one of the things that I'm reading about and hearing about are some of the parents that are concerned. I mean, what kind of checks and balances are in place? Because some people are taking it to the extreme that, well, they can just arbitrarily take our children away from us, and it's very vague why they can do that. I'm assuming, I mean, you know, correct me, I mean, what you have things in place that there have to be specifics that would, you know, garner having to do this, correct? I mean, people that think that, well, they can just go ahead and take our children away and not tell us why. I mean, that's not the case, correct?
Correct. And that's actually the ugly, one of the ugly, there's many ugly portions that we have in our state when it comes to our foster program. The language that is in this bill was actually just clipped and pasted from the statute that already exists from August 28th, 1982, into this.
Okay.
Now, there were a few words that were just for translation different, but we know that words matter. So by no means is this something that is hard set. You know, we're going to do everything we can to make the verbiage right so that we can make sure that the state cannot come and just take your kids because of a scraped knee, or you didn't vaccinate your children, or we just don't like the fact that you homeschool.
Yeah, that was one of the things that they came out specifically. They were like, well, what if, you know, we decide, you know, there's some type of mandate like we had with this COVID stuff that actually didn't get that far. But I mean, you know, that we don't, as parents, think our children should get this injection. I mean, is that going to open the door for the state being able to come in and put my kids in foster care?
You know, and I'm going to jump to the end real quick here on what we had going on yesterday in committee is it brought this bill, although it's far from perfect.
Sure.
But what it did is it opened the eyes of what our statute actually says. Like I said, this was back in 1982. I was 12 that year. Mm-hmm. No one in their wildest imagination could imagine that we would be where we are today, and thought that statute needed to be broadened. Had we not had this bill that is extremely imperfect presented yesterday, we would be having this discussion today.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But we needed to. That statute from August 28th, 1982 needs to be reworked, because you can look at that and you can say, okay, I don't trust the state. I don't trust the government. They can do this with this statute. So now it's opening the eyes up to some of the things that we need to change.
And that's
the
good.
Intent of the bill was just the three strikes, not how we take kids. That was already in place.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's opened the eyes up. So we've got lots of discussions.
Yeah, and that's just it. Because like when I was doing my research on it, I mean, it seemed like I try to look at all the different sides here, but I was assuming, I mean, you're on our side here. I mean, I think some people are taking it to the extreme worst case scenario, and this is an early bill. You just authored it. And so, as you said, it still needs some things tweaked and fixed and things like that. But those are things that you're going to be addressing to make sure that, no, I mean, all parents want to make sure and rest assured that, yeah, unless it's an extreme situation that their parental rights are going to be taken away, correct?
Correct. And again, I will stand behind it. I'll fight it to the nth degree. Biological parents are the people that should be raising children.
Okay.
God gave us those children. The state did not have that permission to take our children. Unfortunately, there are cases where children need to be protected because they're not being protected by parents that are doing the right thing. Now, who is to say that what that is? That's a really tough fine line. It really is. But it does exist, unfortunately, in the world we live in.
Right. And you have groups out, and they all, you know, they all have good intentions, okay, especially the people that I spoke with or have been in contact with, rather. And they have petitions going to shoot this down and things like that. What would you say to them? Just say, look, I'm on your side here. I mean, we're trying to build this. We're trying to make a bill that works for you, not against you.
You know, and here's what I have said since this is my 13th month as a legislator. So I am learning every day that I go back up to Jefferson City and we do things. But one thing that I've said since day one, please call me. Please reach out. Let's have the discussion, because my simple brain isn't going to make this bill perfect. Me working with the Child and Family Committee, which is the committee that we ran this through, we may not be able to fix it with our combined minds. It may take a phone call from somebody in far northeast Kansas, border town of Missouri, with an idea that will make this better. It's going to take everybody, people that are actually living in this world. We had a lady that testified yesterday. She lived it. She's had her children taken away for the stupidest, and saying stupid is being mild. She had her children taken away for absolutely no reason whatsoever, and it took her money, time, emotions, tears to get those children back. That's what we want to make sure doesn't happen.
Sure.
But again, that wasn't the intent of the bill. It just highlights that what we've got now. So again, I just want everyone to reach out. If there's things that we can do to fix that issue so that we can get to this issue and fix it as well, that's the goal. It's a team process. It's going to have to be.
Well, is it?
It's that broke.
Is it going to be like a board, or like would it be a committee? How would it work? I mean, I assume it wouldn't just be one person that says, okay, we're going to take their kids away. I mean, this would have to be some type of almost like a, not so much like a court type of thing, but it'd be, is there a board that you foresee, you know, making these kinds of decisions so it's not just one particular person?
You know, right now it's not even one specific person. It actually, there is an investigation process. There, you know, goes to the courts. The judges are involved. Lawyers are involved. Things of that nature. We just need to make sure that that system doesn't get to a place where they think they're all knowing, all powerful, and they're the wizard behind the curtain, right, and can do whatever they will. We need to protect our families from homeschoolers being targeted, people that don't want their children to be vaccinated. I'll be honest. My daughter did not get the Gardasil shot. I chose not to give that to her because I didn't trust it. Mm-hmm. Is somebody going to come after me because I put my daughter in future danger? I sure hope not. We need to protect that in order to get to the spot where the bill was intended to protect our children who are vulnerable and not being taken care of and don't have the loving parents
right
to support them and raise them right. So it'll be a full process because there needs to be checks and balances all the way.
Exactly. And I think that's really great that we're able to discuss this because I think it's going to put a lot of minds at ease. Because, again, my gut told me that you were on the right side here. But I think some people just kind of, you know, read or heard differently. So it's nice that you can clear the water. Which kind of leads me to talk. We're going to discuss something now that I highly disagree with you on, and that's what you think the state food should be. You said cashew chicken should be the because I got to go. I got to go with the pork
okay
steak. I got to go with the pork right steak. I got to
yeah bring the heat. Come on, pork steak is good food. I won't disagree with you once whatsoever, and I won't disagree that a toasted ravioli is pretty decent.
Okay.
Where it's more of an appetizer.
Right.
It's good, you know,
okay,
with the right marinara sauce. I'll take it. And I'll even take KC barbecue.
Mm-hmm.
I'm from Southwest Missouri. We have a truly American story that just evolved out of Springfield. We have a gentleman who in 1940 moved to America from China. Broken English. In fact, his children kind of make fun of, he didn't talk that much because he didn't know what to say and how to say it a lot. But he joins the military. He was in the third wave of D-Day. He truly wanted to be an American and wanted to show everyone, this is my home. He served in the Navy for many years. That's where he found out that he could cook. In fact, his commander came to him one day and said, our cook's down. Who's up? David Leong, you're up. You're cooking for the troops, and found out that he could cook and he could cook well. After the Navy, he honed his skills, worked some really fine restaurants from Pensacola, Florida, all the way up to Philadelphia. Finally, he made it to Springfield, Missouri, and knew that in order for us Midwesterners to be open to the dishes of his homeland that he grew up with, he would have to make them fit our taste buds. So he decided, well, cashew chicken from China, how do we make it fit? So he breaded the chicken and he made the sauce a little darker to fit our gravy. So he added a little more duck sauce to it and it went over like gangbusters. It went over so well. It is a worldwide dish now. In fact, his sons who are still running the restaurant in Springfield, Wing and Ling are their names. They go back to China to visit family. And on the menus in China, you see Springfield style cashew chicken.
Wow, I didn't realize that. Okay. Well,
so it's not necessarily the dish. It's the whole American story kind of that surround the dish. It's just it's one of those feel-good things that really, I think, Missouri being a very welcoming state, you know, we're probably some of the friendliest people in the whole entire world. And we have someone who came to Missouri to make a better life and made a huge impact in the taste buds of the world.
Wow, I didn't realize it. Can I have a side of barbecue sauce with it, though, or you recommend against it?
Hey, you eat your cashew chicken like you want to eat your cashew chicken.
Gotcha. Well, that's good. That's that's the way of doing it. Well, Jamie, I really appreciate you coming on the show today to kind of clarify things. Again, you got a lot of people out there that are up in arms, but I thought there had to be a better explanation to it, and you certainly have provided it. And so, again, if anybody wants to get in touch with you, what is the best way to do that?
You know, I am driving right now, so I can't exactly quote my office number, but please reach out to my office at the Capitol. You'll be able to find all my contact information on the House website. And you will also find me on Facebook. I've got a campaign Facebook page. It is Friends to Elect Jamie Ray Gregg.
That's how I found you. That sounds great. Well, thanks for coming on, and I appreciate your time and setting the record straight.
I appreciate you having me.
Okay. Take care then. Bye-bye.
Have a good weekend.
You
bye-bye
too. Well, there we go. I think we've done a public service today, Joey, don't you? I mean, because there are a lot of people that are very up in arms about this. There are a few mothers that thought that, what, you know, people are going to bust down your door and take away your kids, and they probably, you know, next thing you know, they'd be glamping, and, you know, they'd be sleeping in the car, and then you'd never see Billy again.
Oh, poor Billy.
Yeah, poor Billy. Yeah, we haven't heard much of Mitch. You know, Mitch is he's decided that he's going to play some different instruments for us today. Did you hear anything about that? Do you know what he's up to?
I don't know what this instrument is. It looks like it is, you know, like a wind chime, but it's just made up of bones of his enemy. So we shouldn't make fun of him.
Doesn't make any sense whatsoever, but he's got that evil look in the back, too, that I'm not too sure about. We're going to find out when we come back. We also have Adam Landy. He's going to be joining us later on from the Love Tube. Won't that be fun?
I always wonder if there's a way, you know how we make truckers blow their horn when we're on the highway, we do a little hand signal. How do you get the submarine to honk at you when you're in the, when you're drowning and you're like, oh, there's a submarine? Do you push the horn like the old style, or do you pull down like the semis?
If you're like Admiral Andy, you're probably too busy spooning with someone and you don't really pay attention, but we'll certainly ask him.
Ask him if there's even a horn on this stupid thing. That's what I'm really trying to get to.
That would be good. Well, we're going to find out when we come back. In the meantime, I'm Todd Showalter along with my good buddy Joey B. Mitch back here with the evil eye. This is the Right Mind Show. We'll be right back.
Coming up next on the Right Mind Show with Todd Showalter, comedian and podcaster Anthony Rogers tells us what type of guests we should avoid having on our show. Welcome back to the Right Mind Show with Todd Showalter on Newstalk STL. And now a man with such a low tolerance for spicy foods that even cans of LaCroix give him a tummy ache. Todd Showalter.
Mamma mia!
And we're back. I'm Todd Showalter along with Joey V and Mitch in the background on the Right Mind Show. And on the line now is one of our fan favorites, my favorite, Joey's favorite, Anthony Rogers from the Anthony Rogers Show. Anthony, your podcast is exploding, man. I'm so envious, but I want to talk to you about this chicken wing eating contest that just went down. Tell us about what you've got going on, and what's that all about?
Wow, that was the nicest intro I've ever heard in my entire life, and I appreciate you guys for doing this.
Oh, well, we can do it again if you like.
I'm not used to the podcast. I definitely prefer it. But, yeah, it was a hot sauce eating contest. We did the St. Andrew's Cinema out there in St. Charles. Yeah, it was, wow. It wasn't as smart as putting it on hot wings. We put it on chips because I'm an idiot, and I just assumed everybody eat hot sauce. And then my wife's like, you need to put it on some kind of food, so I put it on chips.
So how many people participated in this, and what did it entail? I mean, so you have it, and this is something that was very popular on, Joey was bringing it up. He was showing me on Instagram and stuff like that. You invited a bunch of people out. I mean, anybody pass out? Was anybody that surprised you? Who'd you all have out and partake in this thing?
That's funny. Yeah, we had two models, Nikki Serenity and then her friend Lucy. I'm blanking on her last name. And then we had like a promoter guy, Rob Evans, and then my buddy Brad, who was just drunk.
Yeah.
That is funny. And then, and another photographer named Brad also. And, like, it was entertaining in a lot of different ways. Like, a couple people, like the sauce being too hot for them was kind of funny. And then and my friend being drunk, just, like, making fun of everybody kind of made it funny for me. I thought it was a good time, man. I think it was a blessing to be able to do the St. Andrew's Cinema with, like, a 40-foot logo behind you. You know, it just kind of, I mean, definitely getting into the cooler days of art. I mean, it only took forever, you know, but it's definitely getting into the cooler days, I feel like.
Yeah, well, you definitely got some neat stuff going on, or wild stuff that's out there. But I mean, because we've interviewed a lot of people on the show, and I got to tell you, one of the comments I get very often is, when are you going to have the guy that has the porn stars that read the ghost stories back? And I'm like, oh, yeah. So, it's not like you're just coming on to, you know, pitch your political campaign or something like that. You've got all these, I mean, you got porn stars that would read ghost stories. You've got this that you were talking about. You've got all the, what is the wildest type of thing you've done? I know you had the school teacher on that had the only fan site, and she was fired and all that. So you get some different kind of people on. Who was your favorite guest?
Oh, great question, man. Probably David Icke. He was like he's like a more intense Alex Jones, like kind of like with he's like a British guy that like first started calling out this like one world order depopulation thing that's happening. And like I couldn't believe he even said yes to the show. I mean, he's such a big dude, like Phil Arenas type guy that was pretty big. But I mean, I'd say like fame wise, I mean, Jim Brewer and Tommy Chong probably the biggest that I was like, wow, when they said yes.
Yeah,
I've had Tommy Chong twice now, which is crazy to me.
Obviously, I mean, your following has grown, your show has grown. Did you have any idea it was going to take off like this? Because it's really, I mean, it's quite amazing what you're doing.
Everybody else did. I didn't. I'm just doing the same thing, like working day to day. I had a Stanley Cup, a guy who won 2 Stanley Cups on my show one time. And the way he described it is kind of how it feels. He goes, I'm like, well, what's it like winning a Stanley Cup? He's like, well, it was a fun day, and then you got to go back to work. And then it's kind of like, it's kind of what it felt like getting this upward spiral I'm on. I feel like things are just filling out. Like everything's just happening right now. And I mean, it took forever. I mean, I basically just broke through my entire 20s daydreaming about this. Now I'm 37 and things are starting to pick up, and they have before, but this is kind of a faster pickup, I feel like.
If you could get one guest on that you've been trying to get, you know, aside from Joey and I, of course, you know, because, you know, I'm joking. Who is somebody you'd like to get on that, you know, you really think would be fun to interview?
Jesus, when he comes back.
Well, that would be good. Can I be part? Okay. Well,
Jesus Christ for his podcast interview. That'd be crazy.
That would be pretty wild. Well, okay. Well, good. Well, I'd say, you know, we'd want to, I don't know if that's going to happen anytime soon. I hope so. But, you know, anybody like, okay, let's take it down. Who's the second person that you'd want to?
Yeah, man. I'm trying to get Jelly Roll. I'm talking to Jelly Roll right now, and I'm trying to lock it down. He's just like a very busy guy, being the biggest artist on earth right now.
Yeah.
So it's like, I've been talking to him and like Yellow Wolf, which are pretty big artists, and I'm kind of doing the rap thing for like a week, but for me, my interest changes like week to week. Like I'll book a bunch of the same kind of guests like on one week, and then the next week I'll go a totally different direction. And it's just like, I just like right now, like I think Jelly Roll, that's who I've been like trying to talk to on Instagram, he's just way busier than I am. So I'm trying to figure out when I can lock that down.
Have you ever had anybody on that's just, you know, it's gone, you know, badly, where, I mean, you're never going to have them back again? We've had a couple of people that, you know, obviously either didn't want to be on the show or didn't like me or didn't want, I don't know. But, I mean, have you ever had anything like that where it's just like, oh, this isn't going how I hoped?
Oh, definitely. Usually it's these theoretical physicists that just hide behind their college degree and pretend they're intelligent, just repeat the same 5 things over and over again, and it's like rude to seem smart. I just leave. Like my buddy calls it the ejection seat podcast. If somebody sucks, I just leave. And that's kind of what I've been doing. That's kind of how I got co-hosts time to time, is because like the co-host would just interview them when I leave.
Is there anything that you would like to leave us with and what we can look forward to? And again, I urge everybody to check out your show because it's very, really well done. It's very entertaining. And again, I mean, I want to hear more about the porn stars reading ghost stories the next time, unless you have something to add about that. Do we have any porn stars reading ghost stories coming up on the Anthony Rogers Show?
That was like an October thing, but I mean, I definitely have porn stars booked on here again. And like, there's an ex-cop that had an OnlyFans named Lieutenant Bell Alexi. She's covering the AVNs this year. And then we're going to do an undercover with Lieutenant Bell Alexi, like episode of the Anthony Rogers Show, where we just do like behind the scenes of the AVNs, which are like the porn awards. So we have a correspondent at the porn awards, I guess is what I'm saying.
That's great.
Like, we have a porn star interview porn stars.
We've got to do that, Joey. Do you think we ought to get a correspondent for the porn awards?
We can get nominated for something. Best.
Best. What? I don't know.
Background actor.
Best laying down. I have no idea. Yeah, that is something. Well, my friend, it's always a pleasure to have you on our show. I mean, you're welcome back anytime. Any final words before we cut out?
Well, God bless you, and I hope everyone listening accomplishes all their dreams and just keeps chasing them, you know?
Well, hey, you know, they got to persevere like you did. And again, it is a little bit of hard work, but we got to have fun while we're doing it. So I'm glad that you're doing both, and we look forward to having you back soon.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me on again, man. I appreciate that.
All right. Well, take care, my friend. We'll talk soon.
Later on, brother.
And on the line now is the Admiral himself, Admiral Andy, direct from the Love Tube. How's it going, my friend? What's going on with you this week?
You and the Love Tube.
Oh, no, it's you and the Love Tube, my friend. I mean, actually, Joey had a very important question. I'm going to have him ask it for you.
You know, I saw on your other podcast, we all love Something's Off the Table.
Oh, yes, we do. Especially the logo.
Nothing's Off the Table, Friday nights. But I saw on your Nostalgically Hip podcast that you guys were counting down the top movies of 2023. And that kind of coincided with the Oscars. Do you remember what your favorite movies of the year were?
You know, funny you ask that, because
it's a funny show.
I only had 3 that I could come up with for 2023.
What a Philistine you are! Yeah.
Well, no, That says a couple of things. You know, I didn't think that 2023 was a particularly good year for movies.
Especially sailor movies.
Yes.
Oh, boy. Secondly, I don't watch a lot of movies anyway, so it was tough for me to pick five, so I only came up with three.
Oh, okay. Okay. And what were they? What were Admiral Andy's top three movies of 2023?
Well, I threw away my notes already. Let's see if I can remember. Oh, my goodness.
You can't remember your favorite? Just what was your favorite? We'll start with that.
It's not they were my favorite. It was the best for what I thought was the best for that particular year.
And it was just movies he saw this year. It didn't even ones that came out this year. So Waterworld with Kevin Costner, that's in
that was one of your favorite? Wow.
U-571.
The Bodyguard.
Das Boot.
The Bodyguard, yeah. Reds, things like
and,
that.
And, oh wait, never mind. I can't.
We don't have the rights from Dolly Parton for that one. We got to cut you off. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's going to do it there. Well, thanks for joining us, Admiral Andy. No, you know, seriously, on an Academy Award note, because now you can't just be like the best picture or anything. Now they have all this diversity crap. So now every film has to have like an Eskimo transgender blind midget in it, okay, if you're actually going to even qualify for the Oscars. Okay, so if it doesn't matter, if I want to make a film now, and this is going to be my new thing, all right, I'm not going to care about the script. I'm not going to care about the actors. I'm just going to get as many diverse, disabled, whatever people to be in it so I'll qualify. Don't you think that's a great idea?
Well, you know, that's kind of my point of why I didn't really see a lot or was able to pick a lot of good movies. Because
are you a racist?
You have they have the woke culture injected into everything nowadays.
I know.
And it's like, I just want to watch a movie. I want to be entertained. And I want to leave life aside for a little bit because we get enough of that crap on the news and everything else.
I know. Yeah.
You would enjoy sleeping.
Sleeping.
That's a good one.
What is that about? Sleeping in general? Or I watch? Yeah. Is it a film called Sleeping?
No, just sleeping. It's a black void nothingness.
Oh, wow. That's kind of deep. Deep like the submarine.
Like a personal time machine. So my number one choice, though,
okay,
if you ask,
I am.
Was the movie Nefarious.
Nefarious? Really now? Okay, is that about the two guys sitting in a jail cell?
Doing fairy stuff?
Okay. All right. Okay.
It looks like Glenn Beck was involved with this. Was he an actor? Did he act in this film?
Glenn Beck is. He's one of my favorite. He's one of the Avengers. Oh, no, that's another person coming on. Okay.
He's part of The Blaze.
The Blaze.
That's an action hero name.
Go ahead, Admiral Andy. I'm sorry. You were saying, you were talking about your best.
Should I put some tape over his mouth?
Well,
anyway. Glenn Beck was in it. And in my opinion, I don't have an opinion of Glenn Beck personally, but I thought that part could have just been completely left out of the movie.
There's this film festival in Cannes, the Cannes Film Festival, great name, and they have an award. It's the Palme d'Or or something like that. Like the main award for movies is the Palme d'Or, and they have like the Palme d'Or, and what they do is they give the award to the best doggy in a movie of the year.
Really?
And it made me think that Alma has a future in movies for sure. I don't know if she's ever been in one of Todd's films, but she is such a good dog. I could see her winning an award.
He has a great point there. Joey, he's full of some really useful nuggets here today, and I think Alma could be the next Rin Tin Tinner.
No, Alma would be great, I think. She listens well, she behaves, and
great smile.
As a general, generally doesn't care about much of anything. So, yeah, she's
well,
good.
She cares about me, and that's what I find just remarkable, because I think you pointed out that Alma will only go to you if she senses stress or anxiety. And Alma comes to me all the time, and I told my wife, who I'm not allowed to bring up, this whole scenario, and she said, "Well, you must be under a lot of anxiety and stress." And I say, "I think I am. Please don't ask me to do anything around the house."
You got to get a PTSD dog for your house, and just every time you see your wife, you say, "This is because of you. This is why we got the dog."
Oh, I know why we wanted to ask you. Joey had another question that he forgot. Mm-mm. Do submarines have horns?
Yes.
They do. So what kind of horn do they have?
It is it's more like a whistle. It's a steam whistle, basically. But, when we surface transit to get to the dive point,
right?
Rules of the road, so to speak,
right?
International maritime rules, you have to have the means to be able to sound some kind of loud blast as a warning.
Okay.
Yes, they do
okay.
Have,
that's why we. Okay. Now that's going to lead me to my next question that Joey had, which was even a better question.
Is there a pantomime that I can do to make you honk your horn?
Yes.
At
well,
a semi truck, I'm supposed to pull the wire.
And, well, you honked a submarine horn. I couldn't get it out. You made me chuckle.
Is it a steering wheel that I push the middle of? Is it a switch?
Yes. Is that well, you right? Will you do that, Ed?
What is the pantomime to make the submarine honk its horn?
Because we're going to do it here on the air.
There isn't one. But I will tell you, if you get too close to the submarine in your vessel, that would be a bad day for you.
Oh, so just drive directly at it if you want to hear it. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, you know what? Who doesn't want a lead necklace to wear?
Now, if you get close to somebody in the submarine with your vessel, then what?
Then you blow on it and make it whistle. Put your vessel away, Todd.
How about them bears?
I have a weenie whistle that I carry on me when someone gets too close.
Come here, sailor. I want to get next to you with my vessel.
Time to submerge back into the love tunnel.
Here we go, the love tunnel. Yes. Okay. Well, we don't need to talk about this anymore because it's staying away from you. Now, you're not in college anymore, and you're not doing stand-up comedy, but your podcast is doing very well. Now, is this something you're going to stick with, or are you going to, like, say, no, I don't want to do this anymore?
Oh, no. We've been doing Nothing's Off the Table since 2018.
Yeah, okay. So, it's got a history.
Yeah, we would do. And the Nostalgically Hit podcast is something that we started last year with my buddy Ryan and I. But yeah, I've been, it's definitely something I'm going to stick with, especially the Nothing's Off the Table. But what I've been getting into recently, and you guys have seen me a lot lately on Facebook, is I've been producing podcasts for other people.
So you're now an actual producer. So you could actually start Admiral Andy. You know what you could call it? Admiral Productions. What do you think of that? That's pretty clever, isn't it?
That's pretty good.
That is pretty
good.
Man,
if only I knew somebody that could come up with a logo for me.
Yeah, make sure to honk that submarine horn. That's Admiral Andy on the Right Mind Show. In the meantime, I'm Todd Showalter, along with my good buddy Joey B. You've been listening to The Right Mind Show, and like I always say, if you don't have a right mind, you don't have a mind at all. Till next time, bye-bye.
Thanks for tuning in to The Right Mind Show with Todd Showalter. To find out about all things Todd, go to studiotodd.com. We will see you next Saturday night at 5 p.m. right here on 101.9/94.1 Newstalk STL, and always streaming online at newstalkstl.com.
Hey, everybody, it's Todd Showalter from The Right Mind Show, along with my buddy Joey V. And, you know, have you ever heard of what a doorbuster sale is? Well, we're not having one, but we do have sales at liberaljoke.com. That's liberaljoke.com, where you can buy all of your favorite offensive items. And you know what? Joey V is our store manager.
Yes, I am in charge of everything. And just so you know, the word sale just means money will be exchanged for goods and services. Nothing will be less money than it was before. And no returns.
No returns at all. So if you hate something, sorry, you're stuck with it. At liberaljoke.com.
If you find that something is ill-fitting, take a picture, send it to us. You may make it on the wall of shame. You will receive no refunds. All sales are final. Terms and conditions might apply.
At liberaljoke.com. Won't you visit us today, please?